I've had a number of odd experiences with our crematorium. One such instance was in 2012, following a service for a very large man, roughly 375 pounds. I got the cremation chamber preheated, while my wife set up a movie to watch while the man was cremated. I used the elevating platform and then slid him in, closing the door to the chamber afterwards and going to sit down. About 5 minutes after I had shut the door to the chamber, we heard a thump. Neither of us paid it much mind, but a few moments later, there was another, and then another. I stood up worried that the man may have had a pacemaker still inside him, however unlikely, as he had his organs removed. The thumping and thudding got more hurried. We looked through the front window of the chamber and couldn't believe what we were seeing. The man inside was flailing about, both his arms and legs were bouncing around like he was in extreme pain. Now, it isn't odd to see parts moving while someone is being cremated. As the limbs are broken down, they will often contract as muscles and tendons snap. But this was most decidedly not that. The man's fingers were balled up in fists and were banging against the windows, and his legs seemed to be kicking downwards, as if to get out. The man's mouth opened, and first groans began emanating from within, then screams. There was no way, absolutely no way whatsoever, that he could still have been alive. But for 20 seconds after we'd gone up to the chamber, the man inside the cremation chamber screamed and flailed his arms and legs about. I was originally hired because the cemetery had a period of time where they experienced some people sneaking in to perform rituals. I was 21 years old, doing this as a side job, with nothing to protect myself. I was given a barcode scanner and was told to drive through the entire cemetery every hour or so to patrol, and to scan each of the pre-posted barcodes to prove I was actually doing it. Now, this cemetery was massive, pretty much broken into three parts. The newer part, the historic part, and the famous part, where celebrities are buried. I did this routine once, and never did it again, going so far as to break the barcode scanner, so I didn't have to do it. While I was driving, it was pitch black. Coming around a long curved road, my headlights picked up what I could have sworn were a pair of legs walking across the path, but only up to the knees. Shoes, pants, knees, then absolutely nothing. I stopped in the road and just watched this pair of legs cross 10 feet in front of me. I put the car in reverse, did what felt like the longest K-turn of my life, and got straight out of there back to the parking lot. One afternoon, my coworker and I were walking the paved roads in a cemetery with a trash bag, looking for litter. We came upon a particular area of the cemetery that has a lot of mausoleums, and took the next lane around the corner that goes along the side of one of them. As we rounded it, there was an older gentleman, maybe in his late 60s, early 70s, standing with his back against the side of the mausoleum, just looking at a plot of graves nearby. Two things were kind of weird about him. He was dressed a bit odd. His clothes were a little out of date. Corduroy jacket in 80 degree weather, and one of those new boy type caps, long pants, button up shirt. But when you think about it, a lot of elderly people kind of dress in out of date clothing anyway, so I shrugged that off. The second thing, he had a coffee mug which he was drinking out of. Not a thermos or a styrofoam cup with a lid, an actual ceramic coffee mug that he was sipping out of right in the middle of the cemetery. We waved to each other and kept walking. We were only a few feet away when the other girl said, "That was a little weird," and we both looked over our shoulders back at him, but he was gone. We stopped and kind of took a few steps back to see if he'd walked around the mausoleum or something, but we couldn't see him anymore. A couple of days later, we both showed up for work and found one of the regular workers to let him know we were there. We talked to him for a few minutes, and I brought up seeing the old man by the mausoleum in the east section. The groundskeeper smiled and asked, "Did he have a coffee mug?" We said, "Yeah, he did." "Yeah, that's our ghost. He's not really there." We pressed for more explanation, and he said he's always seen in that spot, looking at a family plot, and always has a coffee mug. He said there is a grave for the wife, two daughters, and the husband. The husband's grave says that he passed in the early 70s, and the wife and two daughters' graves say they passed a couple of decades before, and the three of them have the exact same date of birth. They think he was the dad, and that maybe he used to visit his wife and daughters' graves a lot. He told us people only see him for a few seconds, then he vanishes. I live right up the road from my church, which is really old and has Civil War soldiers buried in it. Some nights when the weather permits, I'll take a walk at night. The path around the graveyard is private, so there's no traffic to worry about and nobody else around. Well, one night I'm walking along, and the path makes a big U-shape around the back of the graveyard and comes out at the road on both ends. All along the back and far side, opposite the graveyard, is forest. I was walking along the back portion toward the turn to go back towards the road, and I suddenly see this bright light, like a glowing pair of wings, move through the trees, as though it wasn't solid. Like the trees passed through it, and it almost seemed to hover or float, just a couple of feet above the ground. It only lasted 2 or 3 seconds, and then just vanished, but in that time, managed to cover 10 to 15 feet. I went back during the day and looked around, but saw no evidence of anything that might have moved through that area of the woods. And to this day, I still do not know what that was. About 11 years ago, I used to live in a small house that neighbored a cemetery. I was only 12 at the time, so this arrangement was slightly unnerving. Particularly so when I began to stay up late during the summer when school's out. If I looked into that graveyard at around 3 in the morning, I could see shadows moving. For a long time, I didn't know what they were or what they wanted, but I eventually took to calling them the graveyard people. The graveyard people had a little ritual they would do. They would always go to a grave, this was a different grave every night, grab something, and then run back into the mausoleum that sat in the center of the cemetery. For a few months I would stay up just to watch them. After all, they stayed only in the cemetery and never seemed to notice me watching through the blinds. I had always been careful to darken my room when watching them so that I didn't leave my silhouette showing in the window. However, in early August of that year, I had a nightmare. I can't remember what it was now, but it made me utterly afraid to have a light off that night. Despite this, I wanted a last look at the graveyard people before school forced me to sleep well before they awoke for their strange ritual. So I pressed my luck. I slipped my head up to the window. A scream caught in my throat. One of the graveyard people was at my window, staring at me with its grey, hound-like face. It stared, perfectly still, with a half-eaten and half-rotten limb in one hand. I was frozen as it snorted hot breath onto the window, making a fog on the glass. Then it took a long finger and wrote on the glass, "You should be sleeping." For years afterward, I refused to stay up late. And if I did, I at least pretended to sleep. I have moved several times in the years since, always for different reasons. Nothing supernatural, mind you. My moves have brought me full circle. I'm in college now and live across from a cemetery once more. And occasionally, if I'm up late enough and dare look out my window, I can make out the shadows of the graveyard people. I wonder if they ever look back to see if I am watching. My family has owned a cemetery for nearly 5 generations, and I've been working there since I was 12. The house that my family built on the property is about 30 yards back from the main office. One night, when they were kids, my grandpa and uncle were up late. My uncle happened to look out their window and swore to my grandpa that he'd seen someone walk behind one of the trees. The lamppost illuminated the very first handful of plots and headstones on the other side of the road, but at that point they were undisturbed. My grandpa and uncle stood at their window for a little while, with my grandpa ultimately teasing my uncle for being scared. However, when they woke up the next morning, the police were there. In the hours between when they looked out of the window and saw the burial plots undisturbed, about 4 a.m, and the time they noticed the commotion, about 7 a.m, 7 of the plots had been dug up. The headstones were stacked up deliberately, like a house of cards, and behind them, the caskets were atop one another, the first one laying flat, the next one straight up, then flat, straight up, with the final one flat. With basic casket dimensions taken into account, that's nearly 30 feet high. I'm sure you can imagine, even with machinery in the present day, that would take at least a little bit of time to accomplish. But no. Back in the 1950s, this was somehow done in a span of less than 180 minutes, with no one that lived in the house able to hear it going on. Dave is the oldest of the workers, and has been here forever. I ask him, "Hey Dave, have you ever experienced anything creepy here?" And he replies, "Back in the 80s, I began working here with old Frank. One afternoon, we had a funeral for a child, whose last name was kind of odd, and sticks with you. Eggleton. We lowered the casket without a hitch. His family was gone. It was just about eight of us. We started lowering the vault cover that his family bought, and my rope surprisingly snapped. My side came crashing down and took out the bottom right of the casket. I looked down there, and there the kid was. All I saw was his legs. Black pants, creamy white shoes. I had to go sit down after that while they fixed the cover. I was sitting literally 5 feet from the guys on a bench when I felt a hand on my shoulder. I looked over and it was a young man. He had a watering can and was in an all blue suit. I figured he was going to water the flowers at another grave or something. He calmly chuckled and said, 'You're definitely not the first person to do that. Don't worry about it. We all end up buried.' I laughed with him and watched him walk over to another grave under a maple tree and started watering the flowers at the stone. I walked over to check on the guys and, just making sure, because I do believe in ghosts, asked Frank, 'Hey, is that guy actually there?' Frank responds, 'That's not funny, of course he's there.' I laugh, but the next time we look over, he's gone. I've never seen old Frank so startled in his life. He tells me, 'That grave is a single and hasn't been dug yet. There's not supposed to be a tombstone.' Old Frank pulls me to the side and tells me to keep it between us. I walk around 10 paces to the gravesite and my jaw drops. There's not a thing there. No tombstone. No nothing. A few years go by and Dave passes away. His burial was in an older section that rarely has burials anymore. We were lowering him, and an innocent part-time kid couldn't bear the weight of the vault cover and dropped it. We finished it, and I walked down to talk to the kid, telling him not to worry, it happens to everyone. I brought a pail of water to fill up next to the bench, so I can water the sad lonely flower pot someone brought for Dave. I put my hand on the kid's shoulder and joked while filling it up. I start walking up the hill, and I noticed a grave with a name I couldn't forget. Eggleton. I had tunnel vision right to Dave's grave and up to the maple tree it was under. I'm in shock, and I look all over my body while I'm wearing a navy blue suit. I immediately ran to the records cabinet to check to see when this gravesite was bought by Dave. I went through pages and pages of years of binders filled with the records of purchases and who's where. Dave nor his family never purchased the grave. No one has ever purchased that grave. I'll be the first to admit that I've always been fascinated with death and the darker side of life. When I was a teenager, I didn't think twice when I was invited to visit a graveyard. My partner enjoyed telling creepy stories, and he set the tone as we made our way well after midnight. Seeing as it was just the two of us, I was a little apprehensive, but the adrenaline was pumping. Once we climbed over the low fence, we ran amok, laughing and trying to freak each other out. After about 45 minutes, we started to check out several tombstones, reading out the epitaphs. I was particularly taken by one, which was very old and nearly completely covered by ivy. As I pushed the leaves aside, my partner whispered, "Can you hear something?" I asked, "What?" I stood up and strained my ears. At first I didn't hear anything, then a strange groan came out of thin air. Before I could even scream, my partner took off. I was shocked that he'd left me on my own devices. Rooted to the spot, I was suddenly alone. That was until I saw an eerie apparition peek out from behind a tree. I'll never forget the terrifying hollow eyes. I fell backwards as I finally screamed, not realizing that I'd landed on a grassy grave. Scrambling to get up, I yelled my partner's name and noticed the wind picking up and swirling around me. As I took off running, here and there, while screaming for my partner, I felt like someone was right behind me. I turned to look, but no one was there. Now I was crying and freaking out more than I ever had before that night. The groaning started up again, propelling me into more of a crazy zigzagging through the cemetery. I felt like I was trapped in a terrifying maze, being chased by strange winds and disembodied voices. My partner was nowhere to be found, and I was horrified that I couldn't find the fence, no matter where I ran. It was almost impossible for me to calm down enough to stop and try to get my bearings, and at one stage, I heard laughing followed by whispering and bizarre chattering. I was absolutely petrified. I began to cry as I stumbled around, confused and afraid that I would never find my way out. I was furious at my partner, and I already know that I would break up with them for leaving me alone and vulnerable. Then my flesh froze as a chilling voice whispered in my ear, "Stay right there." I spun around and saw what appeared to be a mist in the shape of a woman from the waist up. Her face was twisted in a snarl, and I didn't wait to see what happened next. I bolted as I screamed blue murder. It felt like I was running for hours. My legs were heavy and shaking when I finally saw the fence. In a single leap, I made it over the fence, then twisted around. As a final blast of frozen wind hit my face, I knew I was finally free from the cemetery. It was a cold winter evening. It was about 8:30 p.m. and one of my friends had invited me and some of our other friends to a sleepover. So I asked my mum and she said yes, I could go. So I quickly put some clothes and a pillow into my backpack. I went to the door and told my mum I was going. Seeing as where I lived, everybody was nice and there was no crime, my mum let me walk to my friend's house as she only lived about 10 minutes away from me. I thought the fresh air would do me some good, seeing as I have been in the house all week. I said my goodbyes to my mum and little sister before leaving the house and walking down the street. About 5 minutes into my walk, I came across a graveyard that led into some woods that then opened up to some housing where my friend lived. I thought, what the hell, and walked through the graveyard, but as I was walking, something caught my eye. A woman. She was standing by an old gravestone, looking down, but that's not what got my attention, it was her skin. It was ripped and scratched, and looked like it was rotting away. Her clothes were also muddy and ripped. Not only that, but they looked quite old. As I kept walking, the woman turned to look at me, and when she did, I was shocked with what I saw. Her face had no eyes, and had cuts on it, and her hair looked like it was falling out. As I looked at her in shock, she started to walk over to me slowly. On first glance, it appeared she was dragging one of her legs, but I didn't stay to find out, and I acted quickly, running into the woods, looking back every so often to see her still following me. I kept running, but it looked like she was catching up to me. I panicked and tripped over a rock that was sticking out of the ground, then hit my head on the ground, knocking myself out for a moment or so. As I opened my eyes, the woman was stood looking down at me with her empty eyes. I looked back at her as she brought one of her hands to my head, making me flinch. Her hand was cold like ice, and I asked her, "Who are you?" When I asked, this woman tilted her head and removed her hand, and before I knew it, everything cut to black. All I could see was darkness before everything cleared up, and I was in a ditch. But this ditch was about 6 feet deep. I quickly went to stand up, but I couldn't move. I was paralyzed. I started to panic, and when I looked up, I saw the woman looking down at me in the ditch, before I felt mud being thrown down on me. I began to scream, but nothing came out, and after a few minutes I was covered in mud and everything was dark. Then I heard a voice whisper, "They killed me." After I opened my eyes and screamed, I was back in the woods, but the woman was gone, and I took my chance to run, so picked up my bag and ran to my friend's house. I never told them what happened to me that night, but still to this day, whenever I pass that graveyard, I still see her standing there, overlooking that old grave, before looking at me and disappearing. The day went by slow enough. I had no business today, but like my pa always says, enjoy the slow days, you're gonna need it for the busy ones. After all, everyone's dying to sleep here. And I always do enjoy them. The sun should be setting down soon, and I just lit the cigarette I finished rolling. I think I might just sleep here tonight, on my rocker, watching the moon replace the sun. A peaceful night to match perfectly with the peaceful day I had. Just as I was about to nod off, I heard it. A soft sound. But there was no mistaking it. Since there's no wind tonight, that could mean either two things. Some damned kids are trying to annoy me, pretending they're spirits. Or God forbid, a poor soul that's been mistakenly buried alive. I still remember the pale face and haunted eyes of the last man. It was almost 40 years ago, and I was just a boy. I must have been around 10 or 11 years, as I heard the bell ringing while I was out playing. I ran to my pa to tell him about it, watching as he grabbed his spade and hat hurriedly and followed me to the grave. "You James McBride?" my father asked. "Yes, oh God, yes, please get me out," the man shouted. "You born on October 9th, 1812? "Yes, in this very town, help me." "Stone says here you died April 24th. "I'm not dead, please dig me up," he started weeping. "Just calm down, I'm digging you out right now." As he dug, he turned to me and said, "Remember the questions asked, in case you hear the bell ring when you take over. Now go grab a spade and help me dig, boy." I didn't understand why he asked those questions, but I never questioned my pa. That day has been embedded into my memory, and every time I hear a bell ring, it feels like it was just yesterday when it happened. I grabbed my lantern and spade and headed off towards the sound. I swear if I catch one of them kids, I'm gonna make them pay for ruining my night. As I near the grave, I started to run once I saw no kids scurrying away and bells still ringing. I knelt down to the copper tube that led down to the coffin. "Don't worry, Sue Corner, it's all right now. I'll have you out in a moment's time. Please hurry, dig me up." Her voice was frantic and scared. I kept talking to her to try and calm her a bit, but it didn't work. She just kept begging for me to dig her up. After several hours, I finally reached the wood, and it became almost pitch black by that time. The only light came from the moon and my lantern. "You're almost free, ma'am," I said, almost out of breath from the work. Once the words were out of my mouth, she started pounding on the lid of the coffin. "Bear with me, Sue. I just need to break the lock and you can get out." But she did not stop the banging. After I broke off the lock with my spade, I stood up to get out of the grave so the coffin could be opened. As I stood, something on the gravestone caught my eye in the dim light of the lantern, and it was at that time I realized two things. While Sue Connor started cracking the wood beneath my feet, one is my pa asked those questions to the man, and second is that I completely forgot to ask Sue Connor those questions, because according to the stone, she died 3 months ago. Before I had time to do anything, she broke through the wood and grabbed a hold of me. It wasn't until my 17th birthday that this happened, a bit of a mystery story if I'm honest. I may have not believed in the paranormal until recently, but I've always believed in myths and legends. And that is kind of what happened in this story, my own Scooby-Doo sort of story. I grew up in a small town in Georgia, very typical kind of town, white picket fence, happy marriages, everyone knows everyone kind of place. While my best friend at the time and I were hanging out at his house, playing with his dad's old pellet gun, looking for squirrels. Hunter, my buddy, lived in the woods, but close to the main road that ran through our town, so it was really the only thing to do at his house. While on this particular day, we went out to shoot some beer bottles that we were collecting for this occasion. When we walked onto his road, we saw a middle-aged couple just standing there, staring into the woods. When we approached, they sparked up a conversation with us about the area. Apparently they were looking for an old cemetery in these woods. We told them that we had been all over this small plot of land and had never come across any graves or headstones, which we hadn't. They walked off into the woods, and that was the last we saw of this nice couple. Fast forward a few weeks, and it's nearly November. The trees had changed colour, and the air had grown cold and dry. I went over to Hunter's house for us to hang out. This particular day it seemed as though the sun was in a perpetual state of twilight, always on the horizon, but never really set. As I arrived, he was outside with a backpack, and an excited look on his face. As I got out of my truck, he quickly told me his plan to find the graveyard that the couple was trying to search for a few weeks ago. Of course I was in. We grabbed flashlights and a bottle of water and made our way into the darkening woods. As we walked, we didn't find anything that even resembled a grave or any trace of the couple that disappeared into the woods before us. We kept to our journey though, and as the light was actually starting to fade, we gave up our search and turned back. On our walk back, we were joking around and using our flashlights as lightsabers. Just then, I tripped over what I thought was a root. As I got up and dusted myself off, I came to the realization that I had just tripped over a very obvious headstone. We had found it. It was in that moment we looked around in the cold twilight and saw what we had stumbled upon. It was over 20 graves, with all different headstones. Looking around, it was probably the craziest find. A few of the graves seemed very well preserved even. We were going crazy with excitement, so crazy in fact, that we didn't realize we had just run out of daylight, as well as the direction we were headed. It was in that moment I realized we were lost. Lost, standing on an old abandoned gravesite, at night, with no cardinal direction to get us back to the house. Cliche it seemed, such a build-up in a story for it to be a typical scary story. Well, you'd be right in thinking that, because it was while we were standing there, trying to get a general direction to go, that the air dropped in temperature around us. Then we heard something. It grew so quiet, heartbeat in my ears. Every so often we would hear a random hush of wind. Freaked out with the circumstances, I believe our minds started playing tricks on us. Both of us started to hear something with the wind. A voice, a moan, a rustle of leaves, maybe all of the above. After standing there, in the light of our flashlights, surrounded by old graves, we came to an agreement. There was a voice in the wind, a familiar voice. It sounded like the guy we met with his wife a few weeks ago, whispering in our ears, tickling our necks with the wind. And then we heard the woman's voice, almost calling to us, growing louder. We couldn't make out what she was saying, until it was almost a shout. Run. After that it was silence, followed but a crunch of leaves behind us. We took off running, and like in every bad situation involving running, I looked back. This caused me to lose my footing and fall, but what I saw and heard after came from the deepest depths of my fears. I was crawling backwards, and at the edge of the reach of my flashlight glow, I saw a dark figure moving towards me, but staying just out of reach of the light. I couldn't take my eyes off it. That's when I caught a clear glimpse of what it was. A woman, possibly. The screams that followed was gut-wrenching. A loud screeching, like the mixture of a girlish scream, squeaky brakes, and nails on a chalkboard. I had to close my eyes, it was so overpowering. Before I could open my eyes, the scream stopped, but I could feel her behind me. So I shined my light right behind me, opened my eyes, and took off running again, repeating to myself, "Don't look back, don't look back." I made it to the road and threw myself through the side door of the house where Hunter was sitting, huffing and puffing. We swore never to go there again, but as stupid teenagers we did, the very next day. We searched most of the day, and we never came across the graveyard again. Years have passed, and we have searched time and time again, but the burial ground that we stumbled across that fateful night has eluded us ever since. I looked up keywords to try and find out what I saw that night, and the closest thing I found was a banshee. The only reason I believe this is the creature I saw was because of the fact that a week later, exactly, my grandfather died in his sleep, but was in good health.